Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so thankful that you are here this morning on this blessed day that the Lord has made. And our hope and our prayer is that you will be blessed as we worship the risen Christ and the coming King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we begin our time of praise and worship, just to highlight a couple announcements on the back of your bulletin, if you'll notice with me. It is hard to believe, but it is that time of year again where we are beginning the planning phase for Vacation Bible School. We will be having an informational meeting on Sunday, February the 7th, immediately following the worship service. If you were involved as being a part of the VBS ministry last year, we invite you to be a part of this meeting. Or if you know of anyone who was not a part and they would like to be a part, or maybe you would like to be a part this year, we would like to invite you to that meeting in a couple weeks on February the 7th, immediately following the worship service. Next Sunday, January the 31st, at 6 p.m., we will begin having a regular youth functions or activities, and this is from those in grades 4th all the way up to 8th grade, and we will be having pizza, pop, and a movie, just a fun time, and just in a good atmosphere for the kids to come in and enjoy some fellowship, some food, and to watch a movie with a message. If you have any youth or know of any youth that fit in that age group, please, we would like to invite you to invite them. And lastly, the middle school Sunday school class, Serving with a Major Purpose. They are doing one more week of interviews up in the couch classroom. And so if you want to stop up there next Sunday, and at your leisure, you can be a part of a wonderful learning experience for the kids as they learn how God interacted and impacted those of us here in the congregation. And so you can see Leanne Tyson, she's the teacher, and she can get you plugged in to that as well. And lastly, I was made aware that tomorrow there is a blood drive at Old Zim's, and that starts at 12:30. And so if you, Beth, I remembered, so you are welcome. So basically, if you are able to get out tomorrow from 12:30 to 6, please make that a priority and be a part of that life-saving activity of donating blood for those who are in need. If you would, bow your heads and your hearts, and let us open this time of praise and worship, of exalting our King, the Lord Jesus, with a word of prayer this morning. Gracious God, we thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your joy. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Spirit that you have blessed each and every one of us with. And precious Jesus, we thank you especially for this time to praise and to worship you, to exalt your holy name, to uplift your goodness, to praise you here this morning. We invite you into our presence here today. We pray that you would take this time, you would glorify yourself through it, you would move our hearts and impact our minds, and may you just expand our relationship with you. And above all, may we leave inspired and leave encouraged and leave all the more richer having experienced an encounter with you this day. So we commit this worship time into your care. Take it, use it, glorify yourself through it, and above all, may we be enriched because of it. We bless you now in the wondrous and the gracious and the holy and the risen Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord today, let's turn to our neighbor and say, I'm following Jesus. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we thank you for forever being there with us, Lord. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your only Son, Jesus, walking this earth for us and providing that example for us to follow so that we one day can see you, Lord, and allow us to be able to understand that there's so much power in the blood, the shed blood of Jesus, Lord. Allow us to be thankful for that and be accountable to that, Lord. And we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The splendor of the King, His golden majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, in darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And I will see how great, how great is our God. In age to age he stands, in time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And I will see how great. Our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and I will see how great is our God. Oh, his name's above all names, and he's worthy of all praise. Oh, my heart. Sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. How great. Our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and I will see how great is our God. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and I will see how great.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for how great you are, Lord, and for what you've done for us, Lord. Allow there to be no one that carries anything with them, any burdens of this life or anything. Allow them to have complete freedom in everything, Lord. Allow us to follow the example of Jesus and be accountable to that, Lord. And let us just have a wonderful life in you, knowing that you take care of today. And that's what you want us to worry about, because you have our future in your hands. Lord, we ask a special blessing over this service. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you here this morning. This morning's scripture reading is found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll be reading the first 13 verses of this chapter. If you're utilizing the Pew Bible, please follow along. You'll find this on page 1782. Let us listen to a reading from the book of 1 Corinthians. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our offerings and our tithes, would the ushers please come, and may we give with a cheerful heart unto what God has called us to give.
We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. And continue to bless us, your servants, in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning we're continuing our series titled God's Balance for Life. And just a quick review as to where we've been. We started out and we saw that we all need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the promise with that is that all those things, the food, the clothing, all of those things that Jesus had been speaking about will be promised to be added unto us. 2 weeks ago, we saw that the guardrails for our heart were our time and our money. And that is really what determines. It has a string attached to our heart. Where we commit our time, where we commit our finances and monies is really exactly where our hearts go. Last week, we began to see how we are to put things in order and how we are to keep things first or first things first. And we saw about making advanced decision choices and how we need to see exactly where God wants us to go, and then we work backwards and we say, okay, if God's leading me there, then I need to choose this because it's going to move us closer to there. This morning, I want to share with you the secret of how we can keep first things first. And many of us, it will not be sometimes pleasant to hear, because some of us in our lives, we don't want to hear what God's prescription for your life and my life is. Years ago, I was struggling with many things in college, and some of it was with my time, and I was struggling with trying to fit in, you know, exercising and training to play football and studying and all of these things. And lo and behold, I had a friend. He was on the team with me, and he took me along his side, and he began to mentor me. He began to say, you do this there and you do this then, and even held me accountable. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about this morning, friends. We're going to talk about biblical accountability. I remember there were mornings where the only time that I could go train for this upcoming season was early, early in the morning, and my friend would show up at my dorm room when I wanted to sleep. And there would be a knock at the door. And I'm thinking, I really don't want to get up, and I don't want to go run. I don't want to go lift. I want nothing to do with this. I want to roll over and throw the covers over my head and just let me sleep. But my best friend from college, he held me accountable. And that's exactly what it takes, friends, for you and for me to keep first things first. We're going to find this morning that God never meant for you or for me to go at it alone. He never meant for you or for me to be alone in this world and try to do the Christian life in our own strength and on our own ability. He never meant for that. You can look all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and when Adam was walking in the cool of the day with God, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And sometimes we interpret that and we say, okay, you have a husband and you have a wife, and that's exactly what he's talking about. That's one component of it. But the other component, friends, is this. Is that God never meant for you or for me to go at the Christian life alone. My hope is this morning is we are going to continue to unpack how we move toward a balanced life and how we truly keep first things first in our lives. And I want us to notice the heart of God first. We see the heart of God. We found in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. And this is the heart of God that we talked about last week. And this is the Apostle Paul. And it comes in right before of the scripture that we just read a few moments ago. And God's heart is this. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize?" And here's God's heart for you and for me. He says, run in such a way that you may win, that you may obtain it, is really the understanding translation. You may grasp it, you may obtain it, you may apprehend it, you may take hold of what God has for you and for me. The sad travesty in many Christians' lives in our country today, in our, probably just our country. You see, the rest of the world, they have other things that are pushing them towards God. They are pushing them, and it's typically trials and struggles and the persecution that we don't experience in our country this day. And so God's heart for you and for me is that we would obtain what God wants for you and for me. And we can, but I'm here to tell you, you can't nor can I on our own. It takes all of us. It takes you and me working together. It takes you and me standing together. But we need to understand that God's heart is that you and I may truly apprehend and obtain the type of life, the life full of peace, the life full of joy, the life full of hope, the life full of happiness, the life full of purpose that God has for you and for me. And when our lives are totally out of whack and they're totally out of balance, we are not obtaining what God's will is for you or for me. We're being tossed around by life. We are not managing life. And God wants you and me to manage life. And so that is God's heart. And God basically has other prescriptions. We're going to see in Proverbs here, 27, I believe, verse 17. And it's this, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. This scripture basically speaks to how God wants other believers to interact with each other. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens the countenance, the demeanor, the person, who they are. And that sharpening is an encouragement. It's a strengthening. It's an uplifting. It's a solidarity. It's others coming alongside of you and me saying, I am going to sharpen you. Sadly, many times we look at this verse and we think that it's just a sharpening of, you know, knowledge, and it stops right here. And friends, that's not the case. The countenance of a person, when my niece and nephew were young, you could tell when the countenance of them would drop. And in fact, my father would say it to my nephew and to my niece, why did your countenance drop? Were they discouraged? Why were they, you know, distraught? What was happening in them? And friends, when we are going through life, there are times where we will be discouraged. There are times where we will be distraught. There are times where we will be joyful. There are other times where we will need the strengthening of other people. And this is exactly what God's prescription is for you and for me, is to acknowledge that I can't do the Christian life alone. I need other brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to point me toward the cross. I need other brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to come alongside of me and speak a word of life into my soul. I need other brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to uplift me in prayer, even when they don't know that I need prayer. I need other brothers and sisters in Christ who are going to speak to God on my behalf. That's biblical accountability, friends. It's opening ourselves up to God's prescription so that we can experience what God has for our life. Sadly, many of us Christians, we think that God's will is winning at life, and we think it's this huge unknown out there somewhere in the distance, and we just resign ourselves to, I'll never experience that. I will never experience God's best. And God has given us a roadmap, and He says, if you do this, this will happen, but there are certain prescriptions, and this is the first one that we need to begin to open ourselves up. And I'll caution all of us. before you just go randomly opening yourself up to every other single person that claims to name the name of Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I would caution you all. They need to be a safe place. They need to be loving. They need to be trustworthy. They need to have your best interest at heart. They need to be committed to what God has for you in life. I've seen it time and time too often where people just go and they just blurt all their stuff and they empty all the things that they have in their past, you know, to this newfound friend. This is nothing that can be manufactured, friends. This is something that is organic. It is something from the Spirit of God, and it's something that only God can bless us with. And maybe we begin to speak and pray and say, Lord, I need someone to come alongside me and to walk with me in life. So I caution you, don't just go blabbling all of your stuff in life to others. That's not what I'm talking about. That is not at all what I'm talking about. What I'm speaking about is more of the 12-step program where you have a sponsor, you have someone who is in your corner, who's rooting for you, who's pulling for you. And when I think of the 12-step ministries, and that's exactly what they are, they get it more right than what many Christians do. And I'll say that again. Many of the 12-step programs, they get it more right than many of the Christians do. We as Christians, we think that we are these individuals, and we think that we are islands, and we think that no one should be able to come into our world, and that is not God's prescription. You see, in the 12-step ministries, you have a sponsor, and that sponsor is speaking those hard line words of truth into that person's life. They are pulling for that person. They are calling and they are checking on that person. When that person doesn't show up for a meeting, they're on the phone. Hey, what's going on? What's happening? And sadly, in our Christian Christendom here in America, we don't do that. We don't. We don't speak. Or if we do speak, we are speaking out against behaviors and actions, and yet we never communicate how much we care. We never communicate how much we love, how much we are pulling for those individuals. And friends, biblical accountability is not just speaking out against actions and activities and behaviors. Biblical accountability is saying, look, hey, I love you. I care about you. I want what God wants for you. I'm praying for you. I'm in your corner, and I have two ears, and I am there for you. That, my friends, is biblical accountability. And sadly, the church in America, we don't live that. We live isolated lives, and we live these closed-off lives, and we say, this is me over here, and you can be over there, but never the two shall meet. We come into church, and we leave. We don't do life together. In the 12-step ministries, they do life together. They get it. They walk with one another. They speak with one another. They are fellowshipping with one another. They are supporting one another. They are sharpening the countenance of their friends. They are encouraging and strengthening their friends. And friends, we should take a lesson from AA and NA and the other 12-step ministries. You see, God doesn't just stop here, and he doesn't stop in Proverbs 27, verse 17, but this is a familiar passage. Many times you will hear this in wedding ceremonies. It's out of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. You see, this is God's prescription. In a moment or two, we're going to see the connection of God and what he has done through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and how he is beginning to build us up together as a royal priesthood. And we're going to see what Jesus has done for you and for me. And the challenge is this, we need to begin to live that. And some of you already are living that. Some of us, we need to be more open to what God would have for us. And if you've never been alone, I'm going to tell you, when things start to go, you have health issues, I'm going to tell you from firsthand experience, your natural inclination is to reach out horizontally to your friends and family. That's your natural inclination. It is not to reach out vertically. It is not to reach out to God. I don't care who you are. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. I don't care who you think that you have become in Christ. Your first inclination is to reach out to friends and family. Know that. And sure, we can stand up here and sit here and say, you know what, yeah, pray about it. But you know what? Sometimes we need God in the flesh. We're like the young boy who's out there throwing a baseball in the front yard, and the pastor comes by and he says, you know what, hey, what's going on? And this young man's father had passed away. And he begins to throw the ball back and forth to this young kid. And he says, you know what, give it to God. And the pastor's saying, give it to God. And the little boy looks at him and says, you know what, sometimes I want God with skin on. That's what we want, friends. We want God with skin on. We want somebody in this world that will walk with us. We want somebody who is here who can relate to us. We want somebody who will just do nothing more than listen to us. We want somebody who is in this life that will strengthen us and support us and encourage us. That is exactly what we all want. If we're brutally honest, that's what we want. We can throw on a mask and say the Sunday school answers, but deep down in the core, you and I, we were created to be in fellowship with one another. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it's not good for a person to be alone. Now this is God in Adam's presence, and he's still saying that. So what does that say about our need to be connected with other people, and specifically other brothers and sisters in Christ? I'm going to tell you what it means. It means that we have been hardwired to have an innate need and desire to be connected with other people. That's what it means. That's exactly why God created you and me. And then we read scriptures like this, and we just, you know, beautify them at the wedding ceremonies, and we say, oh, this is nice and warm and fuzzy and lovey-dovey and this and that. But this isn't what God is talking about. He's talking about walking with our brothers and sisters in Christ and saying, when you're down, I'm going to lift you up. When I'm down, you're going to lift me up. When I'm going through a difficult time, I'm going to strengthen you because I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be there for you, even when I have to sacrifice some of my own wants, desires, and choices. That's what it's about, friends. This is God's heart, is that no one would be there alone. No one would be out there by themselves, but that we truly would be interconnected one with another. And in case you haven't known this, for that is exactly what Jesus bought and paid for you and for me. And this is the connection of God, and we're going to see this. The connection of God. First Peter, he writes this, and he says, and coming to him, meaning Jesus, as to a living stone, Jesus, friends, is alive and well, and I know that you know that. He was rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, you, my friends, because Jesus bought and paid, you are living stones now. Know that. And you not are just inadequate or just, you know, just living stones sitting there and doing nothing, but God is wanting to build you and me up as a spiritual house, as a holy priesthood. You see, this is not a static activity. This is not a stagnant activity. This is a constant moving activity. You and I, we should be being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. And here's the reason, is to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, I'm a firm believer that many people start out well, and I see it time and time again. They will come to Christ, and they will be all about it, and they will speak these good things, and they will say these good things, but not many people finish well. Not many people finish well. And here's the reason why, is because they start out and they're with this all this pomp and circumstance and all these great grandeur ideas and thoughts and understandings of what God wants them to do. And they go here and do this and they speak this and speak that and because of that. But then when the struggle happens, they've never connected themselves with a good brother. And I'm here to tell you, accountability, unless you're married, And even then, I personally believe, not that I've ever been married, but I believe there are certain things that you can share with your husband and with your wife that will actually hinder your relationship rather than strengthen it. For biblical accountability, I personally believe it has to be the same gender. There are struggles that are unique to men. There are struggles that are unique to women. And so when you think about biblical accountability, you think about who you want to stand in your corner, and you think about who you need to be there when the chips are down and you're struggling and you need the strengthening of your countenance, you look for, if you're a man, you look for another man. If you are a woman, you look for another woman. But here's the thing, friends, is that Jesus should be building us up into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, for the purpose to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what one more unique thing and better thing there would be to invite somebody into. And that would be someone on the outside out there saying, hey, come with us. Be part of this spiritual house. Be part of this spiritual priesthood. Be part of this spiritual house that we can walk with you and stand with you and we can move with you and we can praise God together, one with another. That's what God has connected for you and for me. That's what He has bought and paid for you and for me. You see, if you look around the sanctuary and if you look around, there's not many commonalities with many different things. I come from Northeast Ohio, and some of the things here in Northwest Ohio are radically different. And that's nothing, you know, it's just something I've learned over the last 3.5 years. Uniqueness is wonderful. But if you look around this sanctuary and you think, there's not a whole lot that I have something in common with so-and-so or with that person, you know what you have in common? You have the best thing in common that you could ever have, and that's Jesus Christ. That's your Savior. That's the living Lord. And because He bought and paid you for you to be a part of this spiritual house, that you could be connected one with another. I got a friend back home that by far he is an accountability partner for me that is absolutely, he knows me to a T. I can talk with him on the phone and he will call me out even before I know that something is going on inside of me. You don't manufacture that. I don't see him on a regular basis. I talk with him periodically on the phone. And when I do, he begins to say, what's going on? I hear it in you. I see what's happening, and I understand where your heart is, but you better watch. And sometimes those things are difficult to hear, but I'm here to tell you, better that we hear it now and we adjust and we get strengthened and our countenance is sharpened and we are encouraged than to not finish well. You see, I have a dream for Trinity. And I want to speak on a corporate level here. I have a dream for Trinity. And the dream looks like this. It looks like many different little small groups that are speaking truth and life into other people's hearts and souls that are saying, hey, come along. And we are going to be the spiritual house that God, through Jesus Christ, has purchased for me. You see, if it's all dependent upon me, I can't do it all. I'm going to tell you that we are at the threshold right now. One pastor, one minister in any church, you are talking anywhere from 100 to 150, and that's the capping point. And so, friends, we are there. However, when we read this scripture, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, and if we are thinking, and in a moment we're going to see God's call for you and for me, and it's not a stagnant call, it is not a call, I'm in Christ and therefore I'm good and I don't have to do anything. No, friends, you have to. You don't have to. You can choose to. But it's God's call for you and for me. If we truly enjoy the blessedness of what Jesus had bought and purchased for you and for me, would we not want to invite others to be a part? That's the joy. That is the joy, to be a part of someone's life, to be a part of those celebration times, to be a part of those times of pain and anguish, to be a part of that individual's life. But if we move forward, it means we have to open ourselves up in healthy ways. And when we open ourselves up to this biblical accountability, we are saying, I am opening myself up to what God wants for me. This past week, I was praying And we had a clergy cluster and we met here. And I had to do a devotion. And so I was praying, Lord, you know, what am I going to tell a group of pastors? I really don't have anything to speak to a group of pastors, you know. I'm thinking, what can I tell them that they don't already know? And so God in his still small voice said this, and I believe it fits very well. And this is the call for you and for me. And it's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And this is the account when Simon Peter was reinstated by Jesus. And Jesus asked him three different times, and he says, do you love me? Let's read it together. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter said to him, to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Here's the thing. When I began to dig into this, I never noticed it before. And if you look at those three questions, you have feed, tend or shepherd, and then feed. It signifies a whole process. It signifies a movement. You cannot be spiritually alive and be stagnant. Either you are moving forward or you are shrinking back. And when Jesus asked Peter, did he love him? And then he gives him the mandate to begin to feed individuals. Here's my vision for Trinity United Methodist Church. It's this: to go out and to feed those who are on the outside, who are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to bring them in. And then the second question with Jesus, when he said, shepherd them, give them accountability, give them the parameters and guide them and show them the right way, strengthen their countenance and let them be a part of the spiritual priesthood, the holy priesthood that is being built to offer up holy sacrifices. And then we don't stop there. And then once they're apart, then we feed them again. If you are here this morning, and if you think that you can get everything that you need spiritually from a Sunday morning worship service, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, friends. This is praise and worship. For you and for me to go deeper, there are individuals that I meet with on a regular weekly basis. For you to go deeper in your journey with Christ, you need good brothers and good sisters that are going to speak the hard line core truths of the matter of what you are dealing with in your life. They're going to sharpen your countenance. They are going to allow you to become the most vibrant, most powerful part of the holy priesthood that God has purchased for you to be in this life. And when you do that and you open up yourself into a healthy, and yes, a healthy biblical accountability, then you will be keeping first things first. Because many times we share these things and we say, God's leading me toward this direction. But then this looks good over here, and then we get involved over here, and then this looks good over here, and we get involved over here, and that looks good over there, and it gets involved over there. And God's saying, I didn't want you there, there, or there. I wanted you over here. And we need those people. Sometimes we're so close to things, friends, we can't see the forest for the trees. You ever been there? I've been there. I need somebody in my life to point things out to me, to say, you know what, Max? Maybe you ought to think about this. Maybe you ought to think about doing it this way. Maybe you ought to think about this aspect of it. And friends, that is healthy. And that's why God has prescribed that no person should go at this life alone. And if you are here and you are not plugged into a small group, and this is not just about small groups, this is about your journey with Jesus. This is about your relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is about what he bought and purchased and paid for you to become. And that is part of a holy spiritual priesthood, a holy spiritual house that is here. And it exists for one reason: to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And that's why we meet every Sunday morning. To praise God, to the King, to give thanks to him who gave everything so that we could obtain his will for our lives. And you know what that is? That's to experience the life that he wants you and me to experience. And when you begin to experience that, you will have a smile on your face that is like none other. Because that smile is coming from the heavenlies. That smile is coming from the throne of heaven, and the contentment, the love that he will pour into your soul, it will be never matched here in this world. And so my challenge to all of us, if you're not involved in a small group, do so. If you are, you might want to check and see, is this a loving group? If it is, then yes, I can begin to share. I can begin to allow myself to be accountable to someone who's going to constantly pull me back and constantly point me towards the cross, that's going to constantly sharpen my countenance. And there are days, friends, there are days where I've received texts. There are days that I've sent texts. And no, most of the time they go like this: how did you know? I've responded that way, and other people have responded to me that way. How did you know? I didn't. The Spirit of God knew. But if we are not connected, if we are not engaged, then friends, we are going backwards in our spiritual journey. And so the challenge is for us to be biblically accountable one to another. And I hope and I pray that you will have the courage to step in, to step forward, to step out to what God is calling you to do. And practically, it looks like acknowledging that I simply need a group to walk with, to experience life with, so that I can be encouraged and they can encourage me and I can encourage them. That, my friends, is biblical accountability. I could go into all different kinds of different things if you look in your bulletin, and I'm going to close here. If you look at the call of God, there are many reasons why we can say that I don't need this or I'm not into that, but friends, I'm here to tell you the truth of the matter is being accountable means that we acknowledge that we cannot do the Christian life alone. It means that we acknowledge the more responsibility, the more we get, the more accountability we need. It means that we acknowledge our past spiritual successes, they don't guarantee future faithfulness. It means that we acknowledge we constantly underestimate the power of our sinful passions. It means we acknowledge we constantly overestimate our ability to handle temptations. And it means that we acknowledge that our struggles are not unique. Friends, we are in this together. Won't you allow us to walk with you through life? Because that's why we are here. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the challenge and your truth. We thank you for the call to be involved, to be plugged in, to be connected as a spiritual house, a spiritual priesthood that is here to offer up spiritual sacrifices for your praise and glory. May we bless you now. May you grant us the courage that we need to walk forward and the strength to continue on in where we're dealing with those things. And above all, may you bless my friends. May you lead us as we seek you, as we seek to encourage one another. And may you be blessed. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
It's okay to give everything to the Lord. It's okay to allow him to work in your lives. I just want you to know these altars are open if you need anything from the Lord. Because, you know, it's time for us to experience what God wants us to have. Because with God, all things are possible, just like his holy word says. So if you need anything from the Lord today, please know these altars are open. If you want that relationship with him, know that not only is this church with you, but God is with you. So allow that to happen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing head. you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. With sin runs
here this morning, I want you to know where I'm coming from in my heart. Years ago, I was a part of a church and I was going through some difficult things, and my family was. And I had family and friends surrounding me. And I would go to church, and there were times and weeks where I never felt more alone than I did walking into the church. What a tragedy. My heart and my desire and my dream, my vision for Trinity United Methodist Church is that that would never take place here. That we, as being part of the holy priesthood, the spiritual house, we would be permitted and we would be given the honor, the privilege, and the pleasure and the opportunity to walk with anyone what they're going through. Whether it's a struggle to encourage them, whether it's joy to rejoice with them, no matter what. And so, friends, no matter where you're at, I hope and I pray that you will be finding what you need, Whether it's a small group, it's a small group. Whether it's a friend, it's a friend. Whether it's someone to just listen, then it's someone to listen. And my hope and my prayer is that it wouldn't just stop here, but we would reach out as Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs, bring them in, and then shepherd them along, and then feed them again. That's my vision and my desire for Trinity United Methodist Church. As we glow, may you receive the courage that comes from on high, from the living Lord Jesus Christ, to make the choices and do the things that you know you need to do so that you, my friends, and I will truly finish well. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I be blessed truly, completely, and unashamedly by the living Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.